Yes. Board Member Bayrou?
Here.
Board Member O'Malley?
Here.
Board Member Fonzie?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Here.
All present.
Could I have a motion for approval of the agenda, please?
So moved.
Second.
Third.
Roll call, please.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Bayrou?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
This is the time for community forum. If anybody has anything that they would like to speak to the agency about that is not on the agenda, this is the time to do it. You'll have 3 minutes to make your statement. If you have anything, please step up to the podium. I see no one stepping up to the podium, so I'll close the community forum and bring it back to the agency with the consent calendar. Is there anyone in the audience tonight that would like to pull the item on the consent calendar, which is the draft action minutes of their last meeting? Is there anyone on the agency that would have a comment? Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Sorry, Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member Bayrou?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Now we move on to management reports, and I think that'll be Assistant City Manager Jim Lewis, please.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Tonight I'm pleased to present to you a new program as part of your local economic stimulus program regarding restaurants. We continue to hear that we want more restaurants in our community, and I continue to hear, as some of you do, that it's just difficult to get financing out there. And so we wanted to throw a program out to you this evening that might help us continue to develop restaurants in the downtown. As you know, your number one priority has been economic development, and as we'll speak later, you have all been very serious about that, and I think we've moved our economy forward where several others have fallen behind. We want to continue to do that, and so tonight we'll be suggesting that we expand our business stimulus to provide short-term loans for newer expanding restaurants in the downtown area. And this is moving pretty quick in response to a few potential restaurants that are in the market that are a bit short. That could move forward, and so we've wanted to throw this out to you tonight to see if it's something you're interested in. If so, staff will then develop details of the program and come back to you with documentation. If we move forward with a program like this, it could result in several new restaurants to our community or the expansion of existing restaurants that we all enjoy. We don't have empirical data on sales. However, we hear that some impacts were made. And we had several discussions with restaurant owners. We had training opportunities as far as connecting your business online and get access to capital, et cetera. We ran radio advertisements for several of our restaurants. We created the Dine Atascadero website, which actually was the first time some of our restaurants had a web presence. And so that's very significant these days. And it really has become a clearinghouse of specials and different options for eating. If you haven't seen it, it's a good site if you're looking for something to do in an evening to go out to eat. We really helped establish some social media presence that some of our restaurants did not have. And we put together some cooperative marketing packages. And so we really believed that several of the things you wanted to do, we did accomplish. And now this is a natural extension of that, possibly. Obtaining capital is still very challenging. And what do we mean by that? I've heard several examples of people who actually have equity in another restaurant location, and because of when they refied or because of penalties in their commercial loan documents, they can't tap the equity. They can't use that as rolling capital to open a second restaurant. And that's happened more than once. And so it's just a result of this continued thawing of the credit. And as I shared with you from the ICSC meeting, credit is thawing, but it will thaw here a little slower than in some of the major markets. And that's just because of the number of community banks versus big banks, our economy, et cetera. There's several factors for that. And so it really is a sort of market failure in that there's still this fear or this ability where someone might have 80% equity on their property and they can't get a loan for a second restaurant. There's something that's a problem. And so we tried to put together two components of this. One, a short-term capital loan that helps alleviate that gap, and promoting a program that's already very successful, the microloan program. So this is a concept, again, I'm sharing with you. We haven't fleshed this out. We want your feedback to see if you're even interested in something like this. We are proposing making $1 million available for loans of up to $500,000. And what that would do is that would be for expanding, again, physically constructing a larger dining room and bathroom facilities, et cetera, or having a new restaurant locate from another community or from somewhere else in our community to our downtown. What we're proposing is that loan amounts to reach the $500,000 amount would need to correlate to the size of the restaurant, the number of jobs that would be created, the tax incentive for the city, the number, the annual sales of the restaurant, et cetera. So we're really focusing larger loans on a larger restaurant, which would be over $2 million in sales a year. That's usually a pretty large restaurant. The loan proceeds could be used for construction of the new building or renovation of the buildings. The loan term would not exceed 18 months, or is consistent. The loan that we're proposing would be fully collateralized. Again, this isn't an issue of someone not having collateral, so the people that would be taking out these loans are well-financed. They have a program. They have business plans. They own a restaurant or two already. And so this would be something that just helps them tap some of the equity they have in their restaurant to create rolling capital so they can keep moving. Because we really need to focus on restaurants that are going to be strong and be in the downtown and really add to our quality of life. And we would look to use a banking partner to administer these. The staff resources, you know, are very thin, and we'd want to get this rolling, and we aren't in the loan business. And so we'd want to work with a banking partner. And that, again, involves the private sector and hopefully creates some economic opportunity there. And so that's the short-term loan program we're suggesting. The microloan program already exists, but I think we could do a better job promoting it. And for those of you who have been involved in the EVC board, you'll know about this program. It provides loans up to $10,000. We've had three or four businesses take advantage of this in the community in the last 2 to 3 years. It's a four-year term, and this is for applicants who wouldn't otherwise qualify for credit. So these are people who might be having a hard time just getting that $10,000, and this $10,000 could be the thing that gets them through two slow months. And gets them. And so we want to make sure our restaurants are very aware of this program. And the money is somewhat flexible for equipment, working capital, new startup costs, et cetera. What are we trying to achieve in adopting a program such as this? We want to create new investment. In the staff reports, that we mentioned that $1 million investment could equate to $6 million or more in investment in the community. And so you would leverage that and create that investment. You could create over 60 jobs. Some of the restaurants we've spoken with can hire 40 to 50 people. But even if you had three with 20 employees, that would be 60 new jobs in our community, sales taxes. And most important, I think we get to this critical mass. And I wanted to speak to that just for a second. You can see the downtown zone is indicated on the map. It's in pink, and it pretty much is from Olmeda Avenue to El Camino, running east-west, if you will, and from Rosario at the police station to Colony Square. And so that's kind of the downtown area as it's zoned in the downtown zone. Why downtown? We've had some questions about why is staff recommending that and not the whole city. And so we thought we'd elaborate on that just a minute. Frankly, because your city planning principles and the direction of the council for so many years says so, and we'll do some specifics and dig down into that. But also because of the density in the downtown and the street layouts and the visibility of the buildings, increases in restaurants and therefore traffic can be seen instantly. You create energy, you create buzz, as opposed to using your precious resources on a restaurant at the north end of the town and the south end of the town where there'll not be synergy between the two. This is something where you can really create synergy and we really believe get better bang for your buck. And the downtown area has always been planned to be the social and community vision in the downtown revitalization plan, which really is the bedrock for all the great things you've been doing the last 10 years, also says it is our vision that will take guests to dine in many restaurants downtown. So the program we're recommending tonight could use up to $1 million in funds. Doesn't need to be $1 million. You could allocate a smaller amount if you wish. That's just an amount we thought could promote three restaurants on average. And I wanted to make a point additionally from the staff report that while you're not spending $1 million, conservatively you're close to spending $1 million. These would be fully collateralized loans is what we're proposing. And so we would anticipate at the end of the 18 months, your $1 million plus some fees and interest came back to you. But that would be a cash flow issue. So you would be tying up $1 million for a period of time. And so that's the program we wanted to pitch. We would prefer your feedback and direction if you wish us to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Very good report. Are there any questions from the agency at this time? Roberta?
Yes, I understand your rationale behind trying to keep it downtown, but I wonder if we could somehow allow it to spill into areas that are near downtown, like we have the Village Cafe that's been vacant for a long while, and we'd like to see that refilled, or the old Carl's Jr. Perhaps we could prioritize it based on a radius, the distance from the downtown, and give a higher priority to those within the downtown and a lesser priority to those that are on the fringes. Do you see that that could be incorporated into this?
That's something you definitely could discuss. We've just been, again, tying back. You have so few resources, and people are really clamoring for downtown. That's something we continue to hear, and so we've targeted the program to that. But that would definitely be in the council or the board's purview if you wanted to do that.
Thank you.
Ella?
I know that we get new restaurants, and sometimes they're drive-through restaurants. Are drive-throughs allowed in the downtown district?
No, they're not.
Okay, because I think it would be important to focus on the types of restaurants that people are looking for, which are sit-down restaurants. And I hear what Councilmember Fonzi is saying, but I do think we need to focus on the downtown so we can have that synergy building. I'm concerned if we spread it out too far that that won't happen.
Tom or Jerry?
Jerry? No questions.
Yeah, I question about the 18 months. I think maybe that should be extended out to 2 years. You understand? To me, 18 months is an awful short period to try to pay back a loan. And I know you're talking about maybe the refinance and so on, but I'd prefer to see it 2 years myself.
We could definitely do that. The rationale is simply because of the restaurants we're talking about aren't the movie theater that's taking 18 months to construct, and so we just wanted to provide enough time. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are the details we'd want to look into. Before staff put too much time into this, we just wanted to see if it was something you had interest in.
Yeah. And just to comment, maybe most people want a sit-down restaurant, but 70% of the business, most of these drive-thrus are drive-through people.
Tom, did you have a question at this time?
Nope.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to come up to the podium and make a statement or ask any questions regarding this? You have 3 minutes. If not, I'll close that portion of the meeting and bring it back to the agency for comments at this time. Does anyone have a comment?
I do.
Okay, Roberta.
I think it's a good idea. I'd like to see it as a pilot program and see if it goes well in the downtown, and then I'd like to extend it out incrementally to areas outside the downtown and spread the net a little further down the road.
Tom?
Well, yes, I agree with that comment. I think it's important to have our boundaries limited with limited resources, and I'd certainly support expanding it in the future. And with that, just to get it moving forward, did you have a
yeah,
just, make a motion?
I support this also, and there could be some sort of provision how to expand it. I think we should focus on the downtown primarily, but maybe some sort of provision in there where we could expand it. And, you know, I think it's a good idea. It's worked with our theater, so let's just keep things going.
That's good.
I would just like to comment on this. I know Jim brought it up that he and I attended the ICSC convention in San Diego a couple weeks ago. And this topic of discussion was brought up several times with numerous restaurants and other businesses about if the city provided some type of support financing, would that help them make a decision and come to our city? And we had 100% support on that. There's also a restaurant that I have contacted several times, and just as Jim has mentioned, that they're just having a little bit of trouble putting that little final part together of which this program would take care of. So I'm 100% behind it. I think we should take a vote on this and have the staff go ahead and refine the project and bring it back to the agency as soon as possible. So with that, do I have a motion?
So move.
A second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Fonzi?
Yes.
Board Member Bayrou?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
So you're recommending staff recommendation,
yes.
Right? Okay, thank you. Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please, Marcia.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
Mayor Fonzi?
Here.
All present.
Do I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Clay, second by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzi?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Now for the portion of the meeting that I think 98% of the people out there are waiting for, the presentation of well-deserved employee staff recognition awards. Go ahead, Wade.
Mayor, members of the council, I certainly enjoy this part of the job, and thank you very much again. Tonight, we have a bunch of employees, actually, we want to recognize. We want to start with Tom Jamison. Tom, come up. Tom is a public works maintenance lead worker. He's been with us 25 years. Right on. Tom was hired in, that's almost older than me.
Almost.
Yeah, yeah. Tom was hired in with the city in March of 1985. He's worked in the zoo, parks, streets division. One of his proudest accomplishments, I was interested to learn this, Tom. I don't think you told me about this before. He helped to capture an escaped lion from our zoo with no injury to the animal or staff. And Tom most recently has been responsible for all the installation of our computerized or centralized irrigation systems in all our parks, saving water and money for the city. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thank
you. Do I have to pay?
Picture of anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, good job.
That turned that way right
I don't
way
think or... he was facing the right way. Did it work? Joe Allen. Joe Allen is a police sergeant, been with us 15 years. Joe, actually, I was kind of surprised when I came to the city to see Joe. We knew each other as kids. and so we had a little bit in common. Joe's a police sergeant with the department. He's held a variety of assignments. My next one actually is Scott Hallett, who's on a fire. It got called away a little bit earlier on a fire in the east side of the county, so we'll catch him at another council meeting. And then Annette Manier. Annette? Annette is in the Community Development Department and is our Community Development Administrative Assistant, 10 years with the city. Probably everybody that's been to City Hall knows Annette. This is legendary customer service right here. We are very happy to have Annette here. She's managed the permit counter now for, she started managing it when we started a permit counter in the City Hall, the Rotunda building. And so she's always got a positive outlook, organized. Now she's responsible to manage the whole front counter. Thank you very much. And John Taylor, senior police officer, has been with us for 5 years. Last time I had a canine officer. We have a little history with canines coming to council meetings. As you can tell, John's currently assigned to the canine unit, and he's with his partner, Ake, here tonight. John's also part of the field training officer program and has been assigned to watch commander on many occasions. In 2007, he was chosen as the Atascadero Elks Officer of the Year. He's also the recipient of the Chief of Police Commendation and the Police Department's Life-Saving Award. John always has a positive attitude and a great sense of humor. Thanks a lot. As can be seen. And Dean Perrick. Dean, we appreciate everything you do. Dean's a firefighter paramedic with us. He's been with us for 5 years. He's training to become a field training officer of new paramedics. He oversees our medical supply budget and manages our incident qualification system database away from us in 2006. She's a communications training officer and is trained in emergency medical dispatch. She is also an on-call dispatch for the Forest Service and has assisted with many major wildland fires throughout the western United States. Erin is the advisor for the local police department explorer program as well. Thank you very much. And this one's really special. Bridget Jett. Bridget, come up. Bridget is in the community development department, and anybody that's got a building permit in the last 5 years knows Bridget. Bridget coordinates all of them people at one time. Warren, Annette, Ken, Dave, Charles. It's incredible. And in fact, I know a couple of you guys have gone directly to her for questions because she's the one with all the answers. Rochelle actually loves Bridget because of all of her work there. But more than that, she just had a baby boy, Brandon, who I met today. And he's 8 days old? How old?
He's
13 days old. He can almost drive. He was 10 pounds, 6 ounces. That's a big one. It is a big one. Bridget's been one of our star performers, clearly part of our legendary customer service. She runs the building permit processing system and has significantly improved our streamlined permit processing, which has been one of the goals we're going to talk about with the city council tonight. One of the goals that you have identified, Bridget's been personally responsible for. She always provides a smiling face at the front, and she's a major part of our Office of Economic Development. She's handheld several local businesses, and she was the one that actually processed all the paperwork on our facade program. Thank you very much, Bridget. Thank you.
Thank you, Wade. Let's all stand and give them a great hand. This is a good group of guys. Okay, we'll wait just a minute as the crowd leaves us here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. The sunflower presentation?
Mm-hmm.
Sun power, okay. Not sunflower. Excuse me.
The woman coming, so
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to mess up on that, Greg. Go ahead. Yes. We were so excited about our employees. So.
First of all, thank you for launching the
microphone.
Better?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. My name is Greg Blue. I'm Director of Government Affairs for SunPower, and I wanted to thank you for allowing me to appear tonight, and I'll be watching the clock, but anybody can help me as well, my allotted time. I'm here tonight to give everyone an update on our California Valley Solar Ranch project. We're one of the two large projects that are being proposed out in the California Valley, as well as give you a brief update on the permitting process and kind of where we are on that, and fill everybody in on what's been going on. So let me see how this thing works. Perfect. Okay, SunPower is a California-based photovoltaic company. That's all we do is PV. We're based in San Jose, California. This year in March, we celebrated our 25th anniversary as a solar company. We're one of the few companies that have been around for that long. We are in the residential business, the commercial business, rooftop business like Macy's and Target's and the like. And then I work in the utility and power plant group, which are the large-scale projects. Our technology is, as I said, photovoltaics. Our claim to fame for SunPower that separates us from our competitors is that our panels are more efficient. So you get more electricity from the sunlight from our panels, therefore allowing us to use a smaller footprint. The other thing that we use is what's called a tracker technology. Basically, the panels rotate during the day. They follow the sun, allowing you to capture more energy from during a daytime period than conventional fixed-tilt solar panels. Our permitting strategy is light on the land permitting strategy. And so I'll keep going a little bit. Locally, we've done some rooftop installations, but the Tolosa Winery in San Luis Obispo, if you get a chance to go there, you can go out in the back there, and they have about a half a megawatt system on about, and that's the megawatts. It's in Florida, selling to the Florida utilities there. It's, of course, adjacent to existing high-voltage transmission, The total project size is total acres is 4,300 acres. Of that amount, we're going to put arrays on about 1,900 acres, and I'm going to show you some pictures in just a minute about that, some diagrams. The balance of the acreage is going to be left for permanent conservation. Now, what's 250 megawatts? What does that mean? What that means is it powers about 100,000 homes. That's what's equivalent to. Now, the other thing we're kind of proud of is that we're going to bring some jobs to the county. We're talking about 350 local construction jobs over about 2.5 years. Now, when it's built, there's not a whole lot of jobs because there's not a lot to these things. You just plug them in, and so there'll be only 15 permanent jobs. And we do have a power purchase agreement with PG&E. We'll be buying all the power. That's already been approved by the California PUC. The project location is out on Highway 58 in the eastern part of the county, right near the Carrizo Plains National Monument. I've got a little pointer here. Now, if that's working, our project site is right in there, if y'all can see that. The other project is a First Solar project. It's about 3 or 4 miles down the road from us. But that's kind of where it's at. Why California Valley? Why did we pick that? Well, basically, what we're trying to do is balance between the technical, environmental, and policy consideration. Now, we think this area out there is the best solar resource in the PG&E service territory, if not the best resource in California. One, we have 315 sunny days per year. That's per the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce material. It's a flat site. If anybody's ever been out there, again, existing transmission. It's the land out there is previously tilled, heavily grazed. It hasn't been farmed in years in that area. We're going to be restoring. There's two abandoned gypsum mines on the project. We're going to be restoring and filling those in and basically reclaiming those mines and using that area. The project economic benefits are about $7 million in sales tax to the county during construction. There's going to be increased property tax to the county during the life of the project. Of course, there's going to be some indirect benefits of increased wage flow. And one of the reasons that we're here talking to Atascadero is, as part of our traffic mitigation plan, we're going to be having a world-first project. We think that might also bring some additional folks into the county, spending some money. Environmental benefits, I'm going to kind of go over this. Y'all will have a copy of this. We avoid a lot of emissions and so forth. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to keep going. So I have a couple of slides here. We've done one thing about SunPower that we've done. We've been working on this project for over 2 years now. We've had a lot of meetings with environmental. We've had a lot of meetings with some of the neighborhood folks, community folks. And what we've done is we've actually listened to some of these folks, and we're actually making project changes as we go along in order to satisfy what we're hearing, as well as we want to do the project the right way. So we want to listen to people and actually make changes. And I won't run through all these changes, but we've made quite a few changes to the project, including initially we had a T20 tracker, which kind of sticks up in the air. Now we're using a T0 tracker, it's called, which is lower down to the ground. We've changed the fencing to what's called ranch-style fencing, which is basically allows the San Joaquin kit fox and other endangered species to be able to traverse through the project as well. I'm going to keep going here. Some of the community feedback we've received in the last couple of years was, of course, we reduced our water use. There's a big issue with water out there. So we've reduced our water usage by 20% per year on operations once it's operating. We've ensured that the project's not going to use any water suitable for domestic use. We're going to use non-potable water. It's going to use, once it's operating, it's only going to use about 12 acre feet per year of water. And that water is designed to wash the panels. And to date, we've had a project in Nevada in the desert. And while we plan to wash it 2 times a year, we really haven't even washed it yet. You only wash them when the power starts to degrade and enough dust gets on them. So it's likely we won't even be using that much water. We're also going to put a large water tank out there for the community firefighting access. As I said earlier, we're going to establish an incentive program for employees to use a transit system that we're going to put together. There's also an on-site gravel mine that we're going to use to bring some of our aggregate into the project so we don't have to truck it in. We're very aware of the traffic issues out there, particularly during construction. If anybody's ever been out there, it's a two-lane road. There's not a, you know, so we have to be very careful. So our plan basically is we're going to bring the employees in from the 101 corridor. We're going to bring the materials in from I-5. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to bring those trucks in the morning and take them out in the evening so that we're not closing down the road a lot. So we're really trying to geological surveys. We looked at the rare plants. We looked at endangered species, state endangered species, federal endangered species. We surveyed everything. We trapped. We've done it in the wet year this year, dry year last year. We've done all kind of seasons. We've done worked with a lot of the agencies, fishing games, and so forth. And what that allowed us to do was, as you'll see here in a minute, when we this is our original design that we actually put in our original application. And what we found out was right in here, those are arrays. These blue things are where the solar arrays are going to be. That's what these are. Right in here, we found out that there was something called, I'd never heard of it before, but it's called a giant kangaroo rat. It's on the federally endangered species. And so we have to be able, you know, basically reduce our impact of that. So because we had been able to, you know, do all the surveys, we were able to start moving it around. So we did a, and these are out of our, by the way, these are all in our draft environmental impact report, but we came up with an alternative number one. And as you can see, if I can get this going again, where is it? There it is. Right in here, we moved those arrays. Because all these in there, we noticed were some active and inactive precincts of giant kangaroo rats. So we basically reduced our impact to 50% of the known precincts. SunPower said that wasn't good enough. We had to do another alternative. So we took alternative number two. Again, as you can see, we've moved off of that area as well, trying to get off and reducing our impacts to 25% of this GKR. And again, SunPower said, not good enough for us. We want to reduce it some more. So, whoops, we did alternative number three. And basically, we ended up, we added this piece of property down here and added arrays there, but again, further reduced our input right here. Now, what's important about this is that right there is about 1,000 acres, and what we're going to propose to do is to put that into a permanent conservation, and we're going to actually have a habitat management plan that will allow us to monitor and so forth, and we hope to enhance the species. And it's important as part of our CEQA permitting process that we, of course, reduce our impact to endangered species. Now, where we are in the process is basically our draft environmental impact report was released on August 24th. Now, comments are accepted all the way through next Monday, November 1st. And just FYI, the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce has filed a comment on our draft EIR supporting the project and the job. And I kind of mentioned our transportation plan already. The county staff came out with what's called a reduced acreage alternative. And what that was their preferred alternative. And the reason they did that was, first of all, they wanted to reduce, by the CEQA laws, they had to look at different alternatives. They came out with their preferred alternative, which is basically a smaller project and a smaller footprint. And we're still working with the staff on that. Basically, we're committed to work with the staff to come up with a project that meets their environmental goals, the county's environmental goals, and our project goals. So the feedback to date on our draft EIR, we've had two meetings to date after the EIR was released. We had a community meeting in San Luis Obispo on September 15th. At that meeting, we had over 100 attendees in a room that seats about 70, so it was standing room only. We had overwhelming support for the project and for SunPower. There was an appreciation for our attention to the biology and species enhancement. At that meeting, there was no vocal opposition, although everybody had the opportunity. We stayed until there weren't any more questions, and there was no vocal opposition. There was certainly expressed a lot of strong support for solar in San Luis Obispo County. On September 21st, the county held a workshop out in California Valley that we were there as well, and those were from the folks who live out there. Now, they did have some concerns. The residents out there had some concerns about the water use, the traffic, and the aesthetics. And, of course, we're going to answer that, and we're going to mitigate these to the best extent we can do as possible. And, again, we're continuing to work with community and environmental groups seeking feedback and are working on getting the best project we can here finally approved. The county permitting schedule, the permitting schedule is basically what's next. Comments are due November 1st. The next event beyond that, the Planning Commission. This is going to go to the Planning Commission for hearings and a vote. The Planning Commission workshops are going to be held on December 9th. And then there will be Planning Commission hearings in January of next year. A decision on the certifying the final EIR and our conditional use application probably late January. Again, these are estimates right now. These aren't hard dates, and sometimes these things move around, as everybody knows. If appealed to the Board of Supervisors, then a Board of Supervisors hearings will begin, and we think in sometime February, March time frame, and we hope to have a final decision by March of next year to train some solar leaders of the future. So we're working with the Tascadero High School Greenhound programs. We just announced last week that we are donating a solar system to Cuesta College and their green technology program. So they're going to be able to, the class is going to be able to help install it and basically be able to learn from that. And so we're, again, trying to work with the community and work with the college and the high school. We're getting to Cal Poly next. Anyway, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Blue. Are there any questions?
Yes, yes.
Council Member Clay?
In regards to the kangaroo rat,
yes, sir.
You know, I have friends that used to hunt out there, and they said that when they'd come back, the kangaroo rats would be under their pickups just to get shade because it would be so hot out there. Is there any way that the panels could be compatible with the kangaroo rat?
Okay, it's a good question. I think they will be. Mm-hmm. We think that they'll thrive out there. We don't know. That's part of the problem. So right now we're trying to avoid sighting on there. There's a very, you know, I'm not a biologist, but I've been hanging around one lately. Mm-hmm. I'm learning a little bit. These things move around from year to year depending on the situation, with the soil situation, the rain situation, their feedstock situation. We think that not only giant kangaroo rats, but San Joaquin kit foxes and all these things will adapt wonderfully to these things. And so, again, I'm not a biologist, but in order to get through our secret process, we really want to try to avoid them.
I understand. Well, shade is a commodity that's not very not much of it out there, I'll tell you that for sure. The other thing is, what's the best and the worst as far as panels go, percentage-wise? Let's say, you understand, right? You said that some of them are the best, some of the worst. So let's say the best is 100%. What does the worst panels produce?
Well, I'll just say we're the best.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
I don't really want to talk about any other companies. They can talk for themselves.
And then did you get a well out there that is...
Well, my understanding is that they've done a well out there, and I don't understand what the latest is on that, but I can get back with you on that.
I was just curious whether, you know, you got enough water to...
Yeah, and believe me, that's one of our biggest issues is looking at the water. We've done a lot of water reports, and I know that they've... don't quote me on this, but I think they have done one well out there for testing purposes, mm-hmm. and I believe that the results are... that there's going to be sufficient water for our needs, which I can't think of the word. They really love it out there, and they really anything that's out there, they're going to have a concern. They don't. Nobody argues that we're avoiding emissions and all that, but the issue is locating there. And of course, as I outlined earlier, from a solar photovoltaic perspective, it's like the best place in California. It's near the Carrizo Plains. It's not on the Carrizo Plains. It's like 3 miles from there.
Were you surprised at the resistance?
No.
Thank you.
Every project we do has resistance of some form or another.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
I have one very short one.
Sure.
You said it was in California Valley. Is it actually in the subdivision of California Valley?
No, it's actually adjacent to California Valley.
So if we were going in that direction, would it be closer to Soda Lake or further from that?
Our project is north, and then, north. It's here, California Valley, and then... California Valley Subdivision is between us and Soda Lake.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.
Very
Thanks.
Interesting. And before we move on to the consent calendar, I'd like to let AGP Video know that there is no broadcast. I was just texted, and Charter has been contacted, and it is okay on the other channels. so we're not broadcasting.
Yeah, hello, Jim Forte, AGP Video. Yeah, we're aware of that. It's an actual Charter problem, and Steve Matthews, CEO for AGP Video, is actually in contact with Charter as we speak, trying to get them out either tonight or tomorrow to fix the problem. They play with their nodes. Your specific channel here in Atascadero, it's not like other channels on the Charter system. It's kind of a special thing that has its own line level adjustments. So anyway, we're aware of it and we are working on it. And I'm glad you did bring it to our attention. Anytime these problems do come up, we do appreciate for folks to let us know because sometimes, you know, it slips past us and we don't. So anytime this happens, it's good to let us know so we can get on it right away. But we're working on it.
Will it be recorded? Will it be recorded?
We are recording it. It is. We are recording it tonight. It will get played back. But the live issue is hopefully will get resolved soon.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on to the consent calendar. Is there any council member that would like to pull an item? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to pull an item from the consent calendar? Seeing none, do I have a motion for approval of the consent calendar?
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Kelly, second by Councilmember Clay. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Bay.
Comes on down for this celebration. We're going to be using the picture in the building. And we remember have a guarantee that the project's going to be done for our centennial in 2013. They're still smiling out there. Also, Colony Square, as you can see when you drive by, the project's doing great. Leasing is moving on. We have we've received some new sign diagrams, and the signs are going to look really great on the front of that marquee. We're working on these new plans right now. The zoo entrance ribbon cutting is coming up in a couple of weeks. It'll be the same day as the council meeting, November 9th. It'll take place at 3:30 in the afternoon, and we'll welcome everybody to the new zoo project and show them around our new facilities, the gift shop, and the new restroom, new entrance corridors. It looks really great. We also want, I had told you, see if I can catch up with my slides. I had mentioned last meeting that I was going to give you a little more information about our redevelopment program. We've put together a little slideshow following actually Chairman Kelly's presentation at Guesthouse Grill, which was great. Redevelopment is revived businesses in business districts in downtown and beautification such as facades and sidewalks. It's improvements to not going to be able to keep up. These guys can't keep up with me. Improvements to streets and lighting. It's cleanup of contaminated properties. It's infrastructure improvements and community centers, parks, and other public facilities. It's affordable housing and home ownership. It's neighborhood revitalization. And let me tell you a little bit about how it works. This is the redevelopment area map. We formed the redevelopment agency in 1999. The city council, after an extensive public process, formed the agency. When redevelopment agencies are formed, the tax base is frozen. And that's what we call the base year. Pretty smart. As property values increase in the area, ideally the redevelopment agency, through some of the projects like I just showed you, would increase property values, and that would show in the green box. As property values increase, there becomes increment available. So none of us are paying new tax to occur, which would cause the value to go up, and that increment then would provide funding for the redevelopment agency that we could then use on other projects. And the idea is to repair, eliminate blight, and improve the redevelopment area. So as you can see, it's sort of a cycle. As we do work in the redevelopment agent's area and we invest in public and private infrastructure, we cause private investment, which then increases the value, allowing you to have more increment.
and you can again plow that into improvements. And so there's a variety of infrastructure improvements, drainage, roads, and private property improvements that we can do, like the facade improvements that we've already participated in. And so we can continue to attract investment. The Redevelopment Agency is a separate legal agency from the city. Although it's governed, the Redevelopment Agency Board is, in fact, the City Council, and which governs the agency, and I, as the city manager, are the executive director of the Redevelopment Agency. It does exercise local control. It does have powers under the California Redevelopment Law and is established under the state. Our increment, our net increment, which is really housing funds and regular operating funds for the Redevelopment Agency, was about $3.2 million in 2009-10, and we have issued so far $28.5 million in bonds since the inception. So what's that done for us? What's happened in Atascadero? These are some of the local projects. The Sunken Gardens renovation was redevelopment funds. The Community Park Community Center, partially done with redevelopment funds. The Lewis Avenue Bridge is one of our sparkling examples. I think we're all proud of that project. The streetscapes that we've done, and the one that's yet to be included, or that was included earlier in your consent calendar item. The zoo improvements that we're going to open in a couple of weeks were part of redevelopment. They're looking at me like somebody's not keeping up with me, or I'm not, one of the two of us is out of sync. I'm on City Hall. I broke the computer. I'm moving. So we're about to do a City Hall rehabilitation, of which $13 million is funded. We've done some wayfinding signage and intend to do more. Oh, actually, you must have been ahead of me because I'm at Colony Square, the Colony Square Partnership. And what's next? Remember on investing in downtown, and certainly in these tough economic times, where we're really holding on as a city agency, we've been able to use the Redevelopment Agency to stimulate our economy and invest in ourselves.
Thank you. That was very good. Are there any questions? Councilmember Clay?
Yeah, just a comment. Wade, you mentioned the increments, but I think the public needs to know that outside the redevelopment area, we get approximately 16 or 17 cents of each property tax dollar. Is that not right?
Yes, we get 16 cents outside the project area, and inside the project area, we get 16 cents of the frozen base, plus a 2% growth annually, and 66% goes to the redevelopment agency.
So that's really huge when you think
that's
about
huge, it. Where we're capturing a lot of money that otherwise would not go to local agencies.
Yeah. And an example of that would be the property at Del Rio. If it's developed, that'll be a huge amount for our redevelopment area.
Absolutely. The Del Rio project would be really big. And if you recall, when we were doing one of the first projects that occurred after the redevelopment agency was Albertsons.
That's right. Yep.
And so that whole center wasn't developed, and there was a big increment opportunity there as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Councilmember Kelly?
Well, if I could just add that 20% of that goes towards the affordable housing projects that we have in town, too.
Other questions or comments? Councilmember Bayrol?
I'm really glad you spent some time talking about that, because people ask me sometimes what it is, and I think it was a great summary, and it's really important that the public understands where we get that money. And it's money you already pay, but at least some of it stays here instead of all going to Sacramento where things get lost. So I'm glad we have this control in our city.
Very good. Thank you. That was very good. Let's move on to a community forum. And if anybody would like to speak, now is the time to approach the podium and state your name for the record, please.
Hello. Is that on? Okay. How are you guys tonight? Good. I'm Pastor Steve Shively of the church on 6955 Bartolo Road, which was Calvary Chapel, and our name now is Refuge Church. And just want to pray tonight for the meeting and so forth. I also, though, wanted to invite the community out this Friday night at our church. We're having a harvest party, which I think we've been doing for about the last eight. Just pray for the meeting. So whoever would like to join me, you're welcome to do that. Heavenly Father, we do praise you tonight. We just thank you for your goodness and your many blessings. God, we just thank you for this city that you have, Lord, given to us. And Lord, we thank you for our city council people and those that serve us in the different roles, God, in the city. And we want to pray your blessing on them. We want to pray for wisdom for them, for just guidance and direction. God, we want to pray you bless our meeting tonight, God, and all the things that are coming up, Lord, for this redevelopment and rebuilding of the city hall. We want to pray your blessing upon it as well. And Lord, we know that on over the weekend, a man died in our park, God, a man who it seems was homeless. And God, we want to pray for those that are in that place. We want to pray for provision for them, God, for compassion and for direction, God, to be able to help those that are in that place. And we want to pray for those that knew this man and his family members, that you would just comfort them even tonight and minister to them. And God, we know that our time here is very short, so we just thank you that you've given your son to make a way of life and eternal life. And so, again, bless this meeting and our community, and we just thank you for your goodness to us. And I just want to pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Shively.
Good evening, Mayor Fonzie, members of the council. My name is Jim Patterson. I'm your 5th District County Supervisor. And in that capacity, I want to make a quick announcement following on Mr. Blue's presentation regarding the California Valley Solar Ranch. The League of Women Voters on Monday, November 8th, is sponsoring a forum in San Luis Obispo from 6 to 8 p.m. at the City-County Library on both of the two large projects out in the Carrizo Plain. So it's an opportunity really for the public to hear about the issues, to hear from the applicants, and ask questions of the applicants. So I wanted it seem timely to bring that up following Mr. Blue's presentation. The other hat I'm wearing tonight is as a member of the Colony Days Committee. As you know, we just had our Colony Days celebration, and it's a multi-day celebration of our community. Thus, my thanks, our committee chair, Steve Martin, is in Tennessee, and he couldn't be here, and I didn't want to get too far away from the event to come in and especially thank the city. And though it's coordinated by a group of volunteers, we couldn't make it happen without the city's support. And I wanted to let you know that behind the scenes, there are a lot of city people that are helping make it happen. And tonight I'm speaking to those folks who helped us. I have written an article for the Chamber's newsletter as well as the Atascadero News, recognizing the many volunteers, businesses, organizations who helped make the celebration possible. But tonight I wanted to especially thank City Administration, Marcia Torgensen, who's on the committee, also Atascadero Police Department, which really helps us make the parade happen. Officer Caleb Davis played a strategic part in helping that event happen. Public Works, Russ Thompson, Dave Athey, Jeff English, and Jim Campana of the Streets Crew helped us put the parade on. And also from the Parks Department, Tom Jamison helped us there in the Sunken Gardens. And of course, the Atascadero Fire Department always participates in a big way. So I wanted to come and thank you for allowing the city personnel to be such an integral and important part of the celebration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. That was the best Colony Days ever. Next.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Wendy Richardson, and I have a restaurant on Entrada. And although I understand that Colony Days and the parade is an amazing thing for the community and the support that it gets from the businesses and the community, but I'd like you to know something that happened that was not a good thing, to bring it to your attention. I'd like to piggyback on something that Jim Lewis said about encouraging businesses to the community. Before you, in just a moment, I will give. There were two flyers. One of the flyers is dated September the 14th. The very first flyer, dated September 14th, the 13th, the next day. I received a second flyer stating that it was a mistake, the time was incorrect, and the parade would start at 10 a.m. with a road closure at 9:30, which typically it normally is. If I had not received flyer number one, I would not have had to cancel my 36 ladies. I'm not quite sure what to think of the way that we were informed, but as business leaders in a community, I'm sure you would not take that very lightly either. But I do know in the private sector, whoever made that mistake, their head just might roll. It's unfortunate because the very businesses that you mistreated that day are the very ones that you're trying to bring in. So I think we have to be mindful about how we treat the businesses that are already here. And I would suggest that before you say that you're open for business, that you be sure you take a good look at whether or not you really are to the businesses that are already here. One example, and I'll be brief, I'll just take a few more seconds. One example is no left turn into Denny's parking lot, which caused Denny's to close. Sales tax, that is sales tax in a 24/7 restaurant. Number two, English Rose Antiques had to pay $150 to the city for relocating their business from Entrada to El Camino. So at the end of the day, you have struggling businesses in this community, so I would like you to be more mindful of how we treat them. So, and thank you very much for letting me speak.
Thank you, Ms. Richardson. Yes,
and I want to give you
thank you.
Good evening. Good evening, Mayor, Council. Joanne Main with the Atascadero Chamber. And I just wanted to express to you, we held a fantastic workshop today that we had the regional director from Constant Contact in our midst. And they really take the social media and marketing through emails to heart. And so much so that when they promote an event, we had people that ended up through coming from Orcutt all the way to Atascadero to attend this event because someone passed it on and passed it on, which is the way it's all supposed to work. So it was fantastic. The pavilion, I think we had over 120 people. And I just wanted to also mention that the Chamber is hosting on Wednesday, November 10th at 8:30 at the pavilion. Bob O'Brien, he's going to be doing a customer service training workshop for us, and any local businesses are welcome to come, members and non-members. And of note, he is with Trader Joe's, and I think we all understand that they have exemplary customer service skills, and we all felt that it was a good idea to provide this service to our businesses just before the busy holiday season so they can capture as much as they can and give the great customer service I think their customers would want. Also, I'm going to put my call in to, what's the fellow's name? I just had it at PG&E, the weatherman. Help me, people. John Lindsay. John Lindsay. I'm going to put my request into John to hold the rain on Friday till after 2. So I'm going to put him calling him tomorrow and say, okay, John, you need to narrow it down. What day are, what time are those drops going to hit? Because they're not going to rain on our parade, right? And then finally, with the election on Tuesday, November 2nd, We want to urge everyone to vote that hasn't done so already. And with that, the second time, the Chamber Board really wanted to bring the community together after a long election season. And we are hosting a no-host breakfast at Players Restaurant on Wednesday the 3rd at 7:30 in the morning. And we want all candidates to come, win or lose. We just know that our community will need to do some healing after an election and go forward and create the good works for our community that we all want to do. So I hope you all come. It's just going to be, a minimal $10 at the door for breakfast. And just come and mix with everybody, and let's move forward after Election Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
Good evening, Mayor Fonsi and City Council members. I'm Tina Santos, and the views expressed by me are mine and are not of the guy who's running for governor who has less hair than I do, or the small woman who, with a big ego, for 28 years has been our senator and has been a disaster. But anyway, most of you up there can count on me to vote for you anytime you want to run. I want to praise all of you. City Council meetings the last 2 or 3 years have been so peaceful and wonderful, and we see things on the move here in the Atascadero. And after praising you, I'm going to slap you with my left hand, because to quote some lady who occupies the White House, for the first time in my adult life, I'm not in agreement with most of you up there, and this is concerning Measure I-10, the school bond. And don't tell me it's going to cost less or not. I look at my tax bill, and it costs a lot of money. And personally, I think it's very asinine, considering we have so much empty space on the so-called downtown area that we are proposing to move the junior high school, according to a report I read in a paper, at the tune of $25 million out of the downtown area. I think it's ridiculous that it's going to be doing. I think that many of us are tired of whining that our schools never have enough money. And many of us were never a burden on our government schools, because we decided that we didn't want our children to be indoctrinated by the pagan things going on in our public schools. Therefore, at great expense, we educated our children by other means. But anyway, I'm speaking tonight, and I know the majority will not agree with me, but I believe that every homeowner in Atascadero, and renters, because if you're a renter, it's going to be passed on to you, should vote no on Measure I-10, because I couldn't believe that one of the things that was said, that the air conditioning doesn't work. And do they have a budget for repairs? When something falls bad in my house, pipe breaks, I call a plumber. I pay for that. It's always such a burden that we pay so much for our government schools and we get so little out of it. They do a marvelous job of indoctrinating and a lousy job of educating. So I appeal not only to those who are present, those who hear my voice, that you should vote no on Measure I-10. Our schools will never have enough money. And before I'm quoted, I mean, the little nice saying that if you think the education is expensive, try ignorance. I always say, if you think education is too expensive, get rid of all those and the bureaucracy and the teachers' unions who are destroying this nation. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Santos.
Good evening. Jim Wilkins, president of Atascadero Historical Society and the manager of Tent City. I'd like to say thank you to Madam Mayor, Council, and staff and the community. We had an overwhelming crowd down at Tent City and the museum. We had about 400 people go through the museum on Saturday, and we estimated about 2,000 people went through Tent City this year. It was shoulder to shoulder. I saw a lot of faces there. And as you know, when you were in the museum, you could hardly move around at all. It was a great sight. And I just wanted to say thanks to the community for supporting us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkins.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Don Clickard. I am the Executive Director of the Athletic Foundation, Greyhound Athletic Foundation. I am the Chairman of the Board of the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce and a member of the School Board of Atascadero Unified School District. as the Athletic Foundation, we were part of Colony Days in the bringing to the community our second annual Colony Band Festival. We were really pleased with the fact that we brought probably 1,000 people into that stadium to see the band show and see those bucket busters and the bagpipes and the three high school bands in competition. It was a good event, and we got nothing but praise from the people who came here from other areas. The bagpipers were from Camarillo, said they've never been treated as well as they were by the people of Atascadero. As the same as the bucket busters, those kids were really thrilled, and their leaders as well. So that the Greyhound Athletic Foundation thanks you for giving us the opportunity to do that. Joanne mentioned that the chamber, we're going to hold that healing breakfast on the 3rd at Players, and we'll all be there, and each of us will have ideas as to whether or not we need to be healed, but we know that there are some contentious issues before us. Measure I is certainly one of them. I would say, as a member of the school board, however, that a vote for Measure I is a vote for some really important things to happen in our schools. And we know that our schools, because when people are going to come to a community to live, that they're going to look at schools first to see what kind of schools that we have. And our schools right now are in bad need of repair. We have $144,000 in deferred maintenance money each year, this year, which is gone. Now, we started the school year with Santa Rosa School being on porta-potties and bottled water because there was no water. So I-10 will bring $117 million into this community, which means jobs for one thing, but it means a better education for our children. And in addition to that, we need to know that none of that money is spent on anything other than the renovation and upgrade of our classroom facilities and the addition of some ones that are much needed. The discussion as to whether or not the junior high moves or stays or whatever, all of those things, none of that is even a discussion now until that measure is decided upon. If the measure passes, we'll have that discussion. We'll have an oversight committee like we've had with the current tax override. And that that public committee is very important to us, and we invite everybody who wants to, if the measure passes, to become a part of that committee. Anyway, thank you for all that you do and all the hard work that staff has done and that council has done to put us in a pretty good darn direction, and I think we're all pleased with that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Clickard. Is there anyone else that would like to speak tonight? Seeing none, I'll close this community forum and bring it back to the council. There are no public hearings tonight, but we do have a few management reports. Our first is on the Historic City Hall Project Bid Awards. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. The item you have before you tonight is actually a very exciting and good news item, so I'm very pleased to be here tonight. We are awarding our first two bids for construction, or in this case, deconstruction of the Atascadero Historic City Hall project. Hopefully I do better with you, Brady. The first two bids for the project were for demolition of the basement and for the electrical and temporary power and removal of that electrical in the basement. The bids came in at less than 50% of our estimate. Very, very good bids. We're very excited about those. We had a competitive pool of bids. Lots of contractors were interested, came and looked through the project, looked through the documents. We had a good number of bidders on each bid. And what this means is that we're about $290,000 less than our budgeted cost that we had in July. So right now we're doing great. The basement wall and floor demolition included the demo and removal of the entire basement floor, including all of the asbestos tiles, some remediation of a dirt area that used to be a shooting range down there in the basement a long time ago, has some lead belt bullets in there that we're going to be removing. We're going to be removing a number of the walls. All of this work is in preparation for the micropile system that we're going to be putting in there to stabilize the foundation of the building so that it fares much better in the next event. We'll be putting in, not in this phase, but in a later phase, over 200, I think it's 270 micropiles in the basement, so all of this stuff has to go. In these pictures, you can barely see them, but there's a lot of orange lines on those walls. Those are all walls that will be removed. So the cement floor is being removed. The walls are being removed. They'll be doing some test pits so that we know, you know, how deep the current foundation system is, and have a better understanding of that for the next phase of the bids. We had, like I said, go back a little bit. Boy, Brady, you're quick. The lowest responsive bidder for the basement wall and floor demolition package was Allied Industries. They're out of North Hollywood. They came in with a very impressive bid of $178,000. That was 53% below our budget of $379,750 for this phase of the project. And we did receive five very competitive bids. This particular bid came in substantially lower than the next lowest bid. So we did check in with Allied to make sure that they stood by their bid, that they understood the project, and spent some time with them on that. And we are convinced, and they are convinced, that they can do the project for this. So we're very happy with this bid. The other bid package that went out was for basement electrical demolition and temporary power installation. As you can imagine, all of those walls that we're removing and a lot of that concrete work have a lot of electrical things on them. Sockets and light bars and conduit and switches and all of that stuff. That has to be removed in order to demo those walls and get that stuff done, in addition to turning off all that power so you can get the equipment in there. We're also going to be installing temporary power for the whole project so that as you're tearing into the building and doing all the work, you still have power to run your equipment. The lowest responsive bidder from this was from Rossi and Carr. They are a local firm. This was a very competitive bid. We got a lot of very tightly grouped bids. Their bid came in at $73,977.57. This is 55% or below our budget or our projections for this particular portion of the project. We had budgeted $162,750, and we did receive four bids. So this is, again, fantastic news, and we're excited to be working with Rossi and Carr. I know you guys have a tough time seeing this, but I just want to remind everybody, this is the budget that we're working on July 27th. In your staff report, Bernard's presented their projections. That construction number that they have there, we actually have that broken down by the bid packages and have that budget. So that's what we're comparing it to, and we're coming in much better. Again, I know the numbers are awfully small, but in your staff report, this kind of shows where we are today. And as we get bids in, we'll continue to tell you, this is what the project, this is what that package was bid at or budgeted at. This is what the bids came in at. So we can continue to monitor how we're doing in accordance with budget. Right now, we're about $290,000 below budget. We're not going to change our budget, but this is a good thing. And with that, I'd like to recommend that we award the bid and authorize the city manager to execute contracts with both Allied and with Rossi and Carr. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rochelle. This is really good news. Are there any questions? All right, let's go ahead and open it up to the public. If anybody would like to comment on this, feel free to approach the podium. Seeing none, we'll bring it back. Do I have a motion?
I'd like to make the first motion to start the historic City Hall building in motion for construction and approve the recommendation by staff.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Kelly and second by Councilmember Bayrou. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you, Marcia and Rochelle. Our next item is Strategic Planning 2010 update on City Council goals. Staff report, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and members of Council. We're pleased to share some thoughts with you on your strategic plan and the progress you've made. It's actually quite exciting. If you wish, you can provide us feedback and direction or receive file a report on our progress today, which is what we recommend you do. So strategic planning really is a process, its mission, its goals, its many things, and we've talked about that before. But it really is the key to the success you've had this year. If you remember, at the beginning of the year, you really sat down over several meetings and had segments from us, and then you met with the community, you heard from the community, and you really, really set a goal. and wow, have you been successful. I think I tried to put a little diorama of pictures here, from new public safety equipment to a theater to a Rite Aid to new restaurants to zoo improvements to very aggressive stimulus programs to a huge presence at Savor the Central Coast. All the things that you set out to do, you did. And you have made giant strides, and I think that was something in preparing the staff this report we really wanted to emphasize. You started with your plan, you stuck to the plan, and we've been a really good team, and I think this is really something to celebrate. In economic development, you've created a very business-friendly climate. As I say, I speak with my colleagues in other cities, and they say, what are you doing up there? And I hope that you've been hearing that from some of your colleagues, that we really have turned some tides in how we're treating business. You've been very aggressive in marketing. People know we're here. People are looking at us. You continue to demonstrate that earlier tonight through our stimulus programs. And you've really started to future plan. We're looking at some of these other uses in town. How do we turn some of our industrial sites? How do we make our retail sites stronger? You're asking those questions. You've enhanced public safety. Not only have we protected the critical services during this downtime when funding is thin, but we've rolled out new vehicles in the fire department, a special operations vehicle that actually was donated to the city. The fire department's done a terrific job getting that outfitted, and that will serve us very well for years. We have new police vehicles that were purchased in a very smart time that we see very competitive prices with a very new look to them. We'll be upgrading the Emergency Operations Center to the city with a grant of $50,000 that we received. And so there's just some great investments still in the public safety of the community that you set us out to do. As far as our city's finances, again, your economic development efforts have been very successful. But at the same time, you've increased your financial reporting. We've been giving budget updates to our staff and to you to really make sure we've been very transparent in that. Unlike some communities that have been in the news, we have been very transparent and very aggressive in where our financing were, and that started with your plan. We've really reduced our spending, and as we had said earlier, where we had budgeted to lose $1 million, it was only $700,000, and that $300,000 was largely in expense reductions from the staff. The staff, we cannot give enough credit to them for really coming together and cutting further costs and budget, because we all know how important it is to run the government efficient, and you've set that direction. And we've stabilized our revenues. I think that's something important through your business-friendly efforts and investing in redevelopment and bringing new business here, encouraging our hotels. We've really stabilized our revenues, and that's just great. And so we wanted to say congratulations to the community and to you and to this team in this past year, all the great things that have been accomplished. And it all started here. That's a picture of each of you at tables. You're facilitating discussions with members of the community where you set those goals. We set this vision nearly a year ago. And there's still work to do. This is not a time to rest. We're really starting to hit a stride. It is very important that we continue to push, that we refocus, we re-energize as we move into 2011, and the strategic planning process is beginning now. And so I know the city manager's office and key staff are starting to pull together potential options, reports, that sort of thing, to really gear up, because the public meetings will begin in January, in addition to the actual strategic planning process where you'll give us direction for the next year, and then that will roll into our next two-year budget. And so it's been a great year, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Any questions? Councilmember O'Malley, you had a poised look on your face.
I was going to have a comment, but I can save that until we...
Councilmember Clay? Well, I was going to comment. Comments? All right, I think we have no questions. Let's go ahead and open it to the public. Is there anyone that would like to comment on this report? Seeing none, I'll close it and bring it back for comments. Let's start with Councilmember Clay.
Well, you know, staff is always quick to give all the council credit, but I mean, I think really we got to give staff a lot of credit, because you know they're in the trenches and doing the workforce, and you know, I appreciate what staff does.
Thank you, Councilmember O'Malley.
Well, I was going to say the same thing. I think each of these goals we could attribute to a lot of sacrifices on the part of staff as well as some hard work. But I wanted to especially point out some of the folks you don't see very often, because in the very back room back there, the financial team under Rochelle. And since I've been on council since 2002, I was on the first finance committee where I dove in, and I had familiar with large budgets, and I've it took a little while to get used to the budget process for the city, but I've just very much impressed with the hard work of those folks in the back and what a good job Rochelle does of monitoring our finances and partnering with our city treasurer. And I've seen the improvement over the years to where, and now with Roberta Fonzi, we've combined the finance team to be the whole council. So we are constantly reviewing the financial information, and Rochelle is going over those behind the scenes through lots of audits, lots of reporting on the financial data. The reports that come to council are just a small subset snapshot of what's been done, and of course we do our homework. We're looking at the budgets and we're looking at those reports and the more detail that's behind the scenes too. But I want to commend the financial team for what a good job they're doing of monitoring our finances, and you can see it. It's the foundation for all the other departments' success, I believe.
Thank you. Councilmember Kelly?
Well, I'd like to go along with that, too. But I think, you know, we need to thank all of the employees in our city. You go through the parks. Those guys are trying to save money. Down at the sewer plant, they're all trying to save money. Everybody is. It's a whole team effort. And what most of the people see is the five of us up here every Tuesday. But it's really all the other people that are doing the work. We give them the ideas and the directions. And they spend hours and hours of putting all of these reports together for us so that we can make the tough decisions. And they drop anything, whatever they're doing, whenever we have a problem or need an answer. There was a question that came up this afternoon that I had concerning one of the issues this evening, and I got a full report on that within hours. I just want to thank them. They do a fabulous job, and that's why I think Atascadero is the leading city in the Central Coast. And other cities are looking up to us with our stimulus programs, our financial condition, and just a great thank you to all of you.
Thank you. Councilmember Bayrou.
Ditto. No. No, I agree.
When you
look at this report, it's just amazing how much an Office of Economic Development is huge with a lot of these. And when you think of, I mean, just at the beginning of our meeting, we had a presentation of all the service awards for our employees. That was like half our staff, by the way. There weren't a whole lot of people in this building. So when you realize how much work gets done with so few people, it is just amazing. And I think everyone is proud to be an employee of this city. I'm proud to be a city council member, and I think we all work really hard to not spend money. I mean, we all don't try not to spend money at home. We try not to spend money as a city, but we try to do our part to stimulate the economy as much as we can, which, you know, redevelopment, which was reviewed earlier, is how we can help give back to the community and provide jobs. And I kind of like this multi-prime method of doing the historic City Hall, because we can really touch almost every step of this process and realize what an impact this is going to be on our community. So it's pretty exciting. And this is in hard times. Can you imagine if we had financially good times, how much more fun this would be? So I think we're all doing a great job. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Rochelle, you stepped out of the room at the wrong time. We all had kudos for you, but you have done a wonderful job. We really appreciate the hard work of your staff. I had given some thought to what was in the report and when I read it, and I have a couple of ideas that I think were expressed, but the thing that has been best about working with the staff has been your willingness to try new things. That there's been an innovative spirit here in the City Hall, and the people are thinking all the time about not only ways to save money, but ways to make things better. And I appreciate that so much. There's not a fear factor. There's a willingness factor here. The marketing has been superb. We're getting the word out to those in the public that Atascadero is open for business, and we want business to be here and to open their doors. There's a transparency factor that I think is so important, that the public feels that they can come and ask the questions, that there's no one in the staff that they couldn't approach and ask a question and be directed to someone that could help them out. And last but not least, the availability of staff to answer our questions, that some of us, and I would plead guilty to this, have a lot of questions. And sometimes we ask more than we probably should have staff, but they always are very upfront about it and willing to help us as well. So thank you all. We have a good plan. We're just warming up. We're going to hit our stride. Thank you. Let's move on to our last report here, is revision to the city's facilities, policies, procedures, and fees manual. Staff report.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, members of the City Council, you may recall that this item was before you in the spring, and we had a couple of questions about some specific policies that were in the proposed manual. So we've brought it back for you for discussion this evening and consideration. The recommendation is to adopt Draft Resolution A, amending the Policies, Procedures, and Fees Manual, and adopt Draft Resolution B, amending fees and amending specified fees for services. Now, a summary of tonight's action. First thing is, there are no increases to existing fees that are being proposed, contrary to what you may have heard. Changes to existing fees are decreasing, in fact, and that would be the ball field rental fees that we are proposing to reduce, the hourly fee there. There are a couple of new fees that are being recommended tonight simply because these programs don't exist. Something like swim lessons didn't exist before, so in order to be able to charge people for those swim lessons, I have to have council or authorization to do so. And so those are the kinds of things we're talking about tonight. Another summary of what we're doing tonight is essentially streamlining that facilities manual that you've seen. We have policies that the council has adopted since 2003 that have never been included in the facilities manual. For example, I'll get to that in just a moment. We want to address some of the new facilities like the Veterans Memorial Faces of Freedom that were not addressed in the manual. And we want to make sure that everything is included in one document so these policies regarding facilities aren't spread out all over. People can find them easily. And we are also going to take some of our facilities that are for rent by the private citizens and community groups, such as the Pavilion, Community Center, City Parks, and Veterans Memorial. All those fees that we already have, that we're already implementing, will be part of the facilities fee schedule that is brought to the council periodically, and they will no longer be in this manual. So as you'll notice in the red line version, all those things have been crossed out of the current manual. It was last updated in 2003, and we have a few policies that we need to bring in now to make it up to date. It's important to point out that the funding of the city's facilities, all the parks, the pavilion, the community center, they're all funded out of primarily tax revenue from the general fund. The general fund supports all of our major city services, such as public safety, streets, and so forth. And by charging some of the fees that we do have, it enables us to recover some of those operating costs from the people who actually use the services and not have them subsidized by tax dollars to the extent possible. So we offset some of the general fund subsidies. There are no fee increases to existing fees that are being proposed, as I mentioned. And here's some of the fee adjustments. Reduce the ball field fee usage from $25 to $20 an hour. We're proposing to discount equipment fees that are used by nonprofit groups at the Lake Pavilion by 50% if these groups have made significant contributions to city facilities. We are currently, with regard to park rental deposits, currently we don't give refunds of the 50% deposit for inclement weather. That's the way the current policy reads. We're proposing that only an administrative fee of $15 for cancellation or rescheduling of the reservation for inclement weather be implemented, and the balance of the person's 50% deposit would be refunded. What we've seen in the past, and the reason that when some of the 50% deposit has been retained as it currently is because what we saw was sometimes people would reserve, a group barbecue area at the lake park. They would put down 50% deposit, and then if it was too hot or too windy or too cold, they would cancel their reservation. The city would eat the cost of administering those kinds of refunds, but not only that, it displaced people who would have otherwise used the group area. So when the 50% retention was implemented, That solved it to a certain extent, but what we're recommending tonight is that we actually reduce that further to a more affordable $15 administrative fee if somebody cancels for inclement weather, rather than retain the 50% of their deposit. Another new fee that we don't have currently at the community center is for the LCD projector. That would be $100, same as it is for the Lake Park Pavilion right now. Our LCD projector costs about $2,500. We're seeing that we're replacing the bulb, which costs about $200 about once a year. So we're trying to recoup some of that. And one of the things that we talked about back in April was about the Veterans Memorial. And the Veterans Memorial, the City Council gave clear direction that you didn't want to see veterans organizations charged any fee for the use of the memorial. So staff has brought back a recommendation where there will be no fee whatsoever for the use of the memorial by any veterans organization, any individual veteran, or any family member of a veteran. A $75 fee for non-veteran groups would be charged. Also, swimming lessons, I mentioned that earlier. We didn't have a program before for swimming lessons. It was done by a private contractor. They are no longer in partnership with the city, so we're doing it in-house. And the fee proposed there is $60 for residents, $65 for non-residents. We've also seen some requests at the Lake Park Pavilion by community groups, renting the pavilion, who would like linen service. Right now they have to go out and get their own linens. They rent them themselves from different companies. The price varies, but what we are proposing is that we would provide that service should a private party want that service. Otherwise, they can still go out and get their own linen service. But if they do want us to do it for them, that we would provide that service, and it would be optional. The existing policies that would be added to the fee manual that you already have on your books right now are the smoking ordinance, which we adopted in 2009. It's rather the no smoking ordinance, I should say. The temporary banner holder policy for the Lake Park and Sutton Gardens, that was adopted in 2007. No changes again, just being added into the policy manual where people can find it easy. And stadium park rental use policies, those were adopted by the City Council way back in 2000. And I did get a couple of calls about that when this was on our agenda last time in April, saying, how come you're talking about policies for the use of stadium park and talking about fees for the use of stadium park without talking to us? And I simply said, we're not talking about anything different. All we're doing is taking the existing policies that were adopted by the council in 2000 and putting them in this manual. One of the things we talked about also in the spring was the alcohol use at the Lake Pavilion. We're recommending that we amend the policy to disallow nonprofit groups to serve hard alcohol at the Lake Pavilion, because that will allow our partner, our caterer, Pacific Harvest Catering, to obtain a beer and wine license. Unfortunately, since 2004, the Alcohol Beverage Control Board won't allow our caterer to obtain a beer and wine license because we enable community groups to serve hard alcohol. So in order to be able to do that, as we did prior to 2004, when Glenn Oler was our caterer, we have to amend our policy that would not allow alcohol, hard alcohol to be served by nonprofits. This would provide a new service and a convenience to many renters, because a lot of renters don't want to have to go out and get their own bar service and pay the insurance and things like that. So the fiscal impact of adopting Resolution B would result in a modest increase of about $1,000 in additional rental revenue annually to the city. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Brady. Are there any questions? I guess not. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, on the swim lessons, to me, that's a safety issue. Kids that can't afford it, are there still some monies?
Yes.
Scholarships.
One of the things we do is we don't turn people down if they're unable to afford a fee for these kind of youth services. Mm-hmm. That's why we implemented the Youth Activity Scholarship Fund that's partially funded through the Community Development Block Grants that the Council awards each year. So we're able to help those families with that. Also, I put in a plug for the Police Association. They just donated $5,000 to the Community Services Scholarship Fund. So we don't turn kids away if they can't afford it. We make sure they get in.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Brady, because particularly on the swimming is, you know, it's a safety issue, because kids that don't learn how to swim, you know, their chances of drowning is super high. And, you know, it's something I push for all along. And so I appreciate that.
Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and open this up to the public. Is there anyone that would like to speak on anything that was in the report tonight?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just wanted to let you all know and remind you that I spoke on the issue of the disallowing the nonprofits to serve hard alcohol at the meeting that it came up before. And we know at the chamber that is something that will affect us, but we're okay with it. We don't want to stand in the way of a business that's doing a great job at the pavilion from getting their beer and wine license. And I think it will help other individuals that want to sell or want to have beverage at their event, because before it had to be tied with a nonprofit in order to be able to get a one-day ABC license. So I think this is going to benefit the community at large to open that up, and I just want to let you know that we're not standing in the way, and that like at our annual dinner, we'll be selling or providing beer and wine only, but we're okay with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Main. Anyone else? Going to close the public comment portion and bring it back for in action. Go ahead.
I move that we adopt draft resolution A, amending the City of Atascadero Facility Policies, Procedures, and Fee Manual, and adopt draft resolution B, adding new fees and amending specific fees for city services.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Bayrou, second by Councilmember O'Malley. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you, Marcia. And that concludes the reports, and we'll move on to council announcements or reports. Councilmember Bayrou?
I have a couple different things. I did go to the Obesity Summit. That was last Friday, and I went as in my professional capacity as clinical dietitian at Atascadero State Hospital, but I also went to represent our city. And it was put on by an organization called HEAL Slow, and HEAL stands for Healthy Eating and Active Living, which is kind of an evolution of the Childhood Obesity Task Force that has been convening for years in our county. And there were 260 attendees, which I thought was great. So a really nice mixture of SLO County residents. And childhood obesity was the main topic. And they brought speakers in from across the country and what they're doing on a school district level. And they also did have a short segment on how city governments can also facilitate. And there is a program called HEAL Cities, which I hadn't heard about, but it would be something that I think our city would be interested in, as we talk a lot about a lot of our issues in terms of you know, the bicycle plan. All those kind of things are things that tie into the HEAL Cities program. So if I learn more about that, I'll bring that back to you. And I wanted to read, I'm submitting a letter to the editor regarding Measure I, and this is kind of an offshoot from, because Jerry Clay and I went to our city schools meeting, and I wanted to read this. Dear Atascadero residents, in all cities, local property taxes support school funding. Our current amount, which is $97 per $100,000 in home value.
Councilmember Bureau, I'm not sure if I've got the full import of what you're reading, but is this supporting a particular position on an issue that's on the ballot?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Then my advice is that you don't read that.
But I can't read it?
Yes.
Okay. I did write a letter of support for Measure I, and you can read it in the paper. And this was after I was encouraged to write this letter in support because I'm on the city schools meeting.
Thank
committee,
you.
Committee, sorry.
Others? Council Member Clay?
Yeah, I have a question for Ellen. In regards to obesity in the children, don't you think a lot of it is the lack of activities? I mean, I see kids come home now and they get in front of that computer and they get in front of that television and they just don't get out, you know?
There's a lot of different reasons.
Yes.
And one of them is one of the presentations, they had a shot of a teacher talking to their class, and they said, well, how many of you walked to school today? And zero people raised their hand. And it's kind of an evolution on different things that happen in our city as well. You know, that's why there's a whole Safe Routes to School program, because it was identified that kids don't feel safe or parents don't feel safe. So it did look at a lot of different things. One of them is activity level. And, you know, our society has changed in many different ways over the years. But activity level is one of them.
Because, you know, I know my mother, I mean, I ate more potatoes and gravy and meat than you can believe, and I was skinny as a rail. But when I hit home, man, I was out of that house. I didn't want, you understand where I'm coming from. And the kids just don't do that today. But
okay, any other council announcements or reports? Councilmember Clay?
Well, I just wanted to talk about my own little restaurant stimulus package. And one of the nicest men in Tascadero, Joe DiDomenico, and I went and had a great lunch at the Guest House Grill, and it was marvelous. So I just want to encourage everybody to eat at our local restaurants, you know, we got some great ones, and maybe we'll have some more. And I did want to say a little something about staff. You know, we were all congratulating them and everything, but thinking back to the day of the earthquake and what has happened after that, and what Rochelle has had to go through dealing with FEMA, and what all the staff had to do to just to get into this building. And remember, we went into the the arcade to start with, and our staff have done a heck of a job, folks, and there's a lot of obstacles, and I wanted to mention that and want to compliment them again on what they've done since the earthquake and the progress that we've made. And it's been great.
Thank you. Are there any committee reports? Let's start with Councilmember Biro, and we'll go on down the line.
As I mentioned, we had the city schools meeting, and we hadn't had one for a while. And some facts that were explained about the bond, and I can say facts, right?
Yes.
Okay. And one of the clarifications is that we currently pay $97 per 100,000, and the Measure I is from zero up to $59 per $100,000 the value of your house. And he explained that the next projects that are in line, which is Monterey School upgrades and starting a diesel mechanics vocational ed program at the high school, are already paid for with money from our school district and a state match. So they're not anticipating on charging us anything until the school board authorizes future projects. So the maximum that we will be charged on our property tax is 59, but as starting next year, the number is zero. And so those decisions will not be made, you know, unilaterally. This is, you know, through the school board makes those decisions on school bonds. So I thought that was an important clarification. Other ideas that were discussed was volunteerism, and with the cut in budgets and lack of staff that we all know about, that if there's interested parties in the community that have skills they want to share with our youth, the high school especially needs help with the Culinary Arts Greenhounds Academy, and also help in classrooms of like retired teachers or people who have special skills is needed. So to contact schools of interest and let them know that you're available. That's what I remembered. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Kelly?
Yes, I attended the Homeless Services Oversight Council, which is a large group of people throughout the county who are addressing a 10-year plan to help the homeless people. Currently, their next step is to formulate a computer program and take an accounting of all the homeless people in the county so that they can report it to HUD, because HUD is the biggest financer of the projects that will go forward in the county. Although at the same time, coming from Atascadero, it's very nice to brag about our ECHO program and our homeless shelter in town. Currently, they house about 35 people a night at a cost of $6. They do about 70 meals a day, and that's mostly by volunteerism and donations. So any of you who are out there that want to help the homeless, and it's an ongoing problem that we have not only in our community, but I think probably throughout the nation, and I'm afraid it's going to increase as the economy gets worse and worse. So there is a group of people in the county that are working on this. I'm afraid it's going to take a long, long time before we see any positive results. But once again, I'm very happy to say that here in Atascadero, we have a good program that are helping these people. And if any of you would like to help them, I'm sure they would be very receptive of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, thank you all for attending the 41-101 dedication we had celebrated in Second Gardens with, of course, San Luis Council of Governments participated in that, and we all represented our various organizations. I want to sneak in, it should have fallen under council reports, but I did on behalf of the council attend Mayor Dave Romero's retirement, and what a remarkable gentleman, the man that's been mayor in San Luis Obispo for many years. And, of course, it was very heartwarming to see their whole community come together. And, again, he's really reached across a lot of boundaries, and they've worked well together. And I think we've experienced that in our own city, kind of a coming together. And I think it can be done, and it's worth doing. And those of you know that Councilman Mulholland was there, and what a pair they are. They are complete opposites. He's short, she's tall. What a sense of humor she has. But I think she brought to light how you can really work together even with differing political views, and it was very encouraging to hear.
Very good. Councilmember Clay?
Well, probably should have been with council reports, but you know, during election time, people get a little squirrely out there, and, you know, rumors flow around and stuff. So, you know, I just want to caution people out there to just take a lot of this stuff with a grain of salt and, you know, take a look at the candidates' qualifications and people up here's qualifications, and let's not get caught up in the rumor mill.
Thank you. And I just wanted to report that I was called to an emergency meeting on Monday and was notified late Friday night. So this was from the Council of Mayors. We had a city selection meeting. And so on my own volition, I wrote a letter of support from the mayor only, not from the other members of the council, regarding the appointment of a council member to the Coastal Commission that Cacho Achadian currently serves in that capacity, and he will be leaving. Whether he's elected or not, we do not know. And so the recommendation was that the current mayor of Pismo Beach, Marianne Reese, would be a good appointment to the Coastal Commission, which I have a letter for each of you. It should be in your packet. Other than that, I would just like to remind those in the audience here today and those in the viewing audience, please vote on November 2nd. It's very important. Without further ado, let's go ahead and well, almost adjourn the meeting. Is there? I think there's a few things we probably need to get from city staff. Marsha, I know you have one. Let's go ahead with that.
Thank you. I just wanted to remind everybody that there is another candidate forum this Thursday. That's October 28th at 7 o'clock here in the city council chambers. This one is called the Final Word Forum, and it has a different format than our previous forum, and I just want to remind everybody of that. It will be facilitated by Dr. Tom Shanks. He's the ethics consultant that we have contracted with in the past. And the purpose of this forum is to give the public another opportunity to hear the candidates speak on their positions and their way of collaborating and decision-making so that they can help them decide who to vote for on November 2nd. Also, the facilitator will have the candidates engaging with each other or with him, so there'll be some interaction, and it will allow the public again to see a different side of the candidates maybe they've seen before.
Very good.
Thanks.
Any comments from our city manager or city attorney?
No comments.
No comments.
Anybody else? Seeing none, we adjourn the meeting at 8:02.